Ahoy, welcome to a brand new episode of Baffled. Your favourite fact podcast is back once again, needing your help to decide whether these facts are amazing or just worth chucking in the bin. My name is Dan. Thank you for being there. I have three. Stuff about the Titanic, about prize-winning sperm, and how someone who hated Sony fixed Sony. Connor is also here.
How are we doing? Yeah, we're going to do some facts today about Arnold Schwarzenegger, Messi, the footballer, and, yeah, the fact that I think he's probably going to get me fired.
Okay, Mark is also here.
This week, how ants will help each other, a singer singing things we didn't realise that he sung, and finally, what happens if you give a dolphin a mirror? Life's big questions.
You being fired would imply this is a job. That's not for us to decide. Stick around, it's a brand new episode of Baffled.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mark, how are you feeling today there, bud?
Yeah, a little bit blocked up, I'll be honest with you. I feel fine. I just sound like... I'm very nasally all of a sudden.
Hey, I've got a problem that I need your help with.
Go.
Well,
you've come to us too?
Well,
you must be in desperate need of help.
It would be like, what would you do?
Yeah.
I was at the theatre last night.
At the where?
Theatre.
Okay, the theatre, yeah.
Did you say theatre?
Theatre.
He's an actor, isn't he? So, you know.
Yeah, well. I was at the theatre last night.
Theatre.
And
so smelly.
People behind me, there was a young family, and the mum was like providing an audio commentary to her son, who just didn't understand what anything was because he shouldn't have been at the play because he was like six and the play was for adults.
Mm.
And I don't know what you meant to do, because it was like, I understand, like, I appreciate it. Anyone can pay for a ticket, you can go, but it was, and you don't want to say anything, but well, it was also really, really annoying.
The first thing you need to think is there a disability there?
No, there wasn't.
Well, then probably just turn around and say, what are you doing?
But remember, not all disabilities are visible.
But you can't, like, can you say that? Like, I clocked it early on, you know, oh, mum, what does that mean? You know, because they were using big words on stage.
Oh,
and she would be like, da, 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 da. So this was happening the whole time. And it was like, I can't do it early on because it makes me feel awkward for the rest of the show. And I can't say it after, like, oh, cheers for that. Because
did you do the little
way? What use is it? Yeah.
Well, you just do it. You sort of look over the shoulder a little bit. You do it a couple of times.
I did a few looks, but then, like, it must be really hard being a parent. Like, what are you meant to do?
Do you not, like, turn around and go, do you not know who I am? I was in Rosemary and Thyme and Harry Potter for a very small bit, if you watch the
Do you know what you're meant to do? You know what you're meant to do as a parent? Not take your 6-year-old to an adult theatre show.
Yeah, I think that's the issue.
That they don't understand. Yeah? Just put them in the ball pit and go and see your theatre show.
I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore.
What, leave them in a ball pit?
Yeah.
Be all right. But don't bring them...
Where is this ball pit?
McDonald's have them, didn't they?
Do they?
I think so. You call
drop them at a random McDonald's, hope they have a crash, and you're fine. Yeah.
Playing me, innit?
Also, if he's six, he's probably a little bit old for just be left.
Hold on. What was the theatre show?
Where in London's glittering West End are they meant to drop a kid in a ball pit?
Mayflower Retail Park on the A127 has got a Playing Me in the McDonald's. Anyway, what was the show?
The play that goes wrong.
Ridiculous. Why would you take a 6-year-old to that?
I don't know. That I can kind of see a little bit more than if it was...
But what big words are in a play that goes wrong?
Well, it was just like they were saying a lot of complex words because that was part of the gag of the story.
I was waiting for him to go, since those are big words, what was the show? Chee Chee Bang Bang. Oh, okay.
And like they were obviously laughing at the smashy and the crashy bits. I just thought I would raise that point.
You need to encourage these kids, Dan. It's the next generation of theatre lovers coming.
Should have taken a selfie, got her in it, and put it on Twitter and go, if anyone's ever in the theatre with this woman, move.
Tell her to take her kid to the
ball pit. Yeah, go viral probably or whatever.
Right, I'm going to take the lead on this one because this fact, I really enjoyed it. Get your head around this. The Titanic was found as part of a secret mission that was pretending to find the Titanic.
So they weren't searching for the Titanic. They were pretending to hide the true nature of the mission.
Correct.
What was the true nature of the mission?
So, the American Navy, the Navy in America were searching for two nuclear submarines that had been lost that they didn't know where they were, right?
The thing is that this makes so much more sense to where I was. I thought it was a bunch of lads that were like on a holiday or whatever and they're like, should we pretend that we're finding the Titanic?
No. There's actually a lot of Titanic stuff here. Anyway, so the Titanic sunk, I think it was 1912. Mm. And no one had found it until 1985 is when it finally came out that someone would found it. A man called Robert Ballard.
That's an interesting name.
I've got so much written down here that it's just trying me to figure it out. A man called Robert Ballard served as an intelligence officer in the Army Reserve. Then he was in active duty in the Navy. They asked him, they said, can you go down and find these two missing subs?
Mm.
And he said, well, yeah, I can, but I want to find the Titanic as well. And they said, look, there won't be any time. If there is any time trying to find the Titanic, fill your boots. But that's not what this is about.
If there's time, just go for it.
Fine.
It's kind of like when you get sent on a work trip to an exciting city and they're like, oh, yeah, you might have time to go explore. No, you're never leaving that hotel and that conference.
Exactly. So, and obviously they wanted to keep this secret that they were looking for these two nuclear submarines. So they told people that they were going down to try and find the Titanic. He went down there, he found these two submarines, then found the Titanic.
Did that really quickly, Gerd.
Yeah. He literally did.
There they are. It's fine, I'm off to see the Titanic now. See you later, mate.
Once he'd finished checking on the USS Scorpion and Thresher, he had 12 days remaining. And it's honestly like it couldn't have been more obvious and handy to him because between the two wrecks was a large debris field that littered the ocean floor. So he followed the trail, and found the Titanic.
Wow.
That's the way to do it.
He found the ship's boiler and then eventually the hull. Also, this is something interesting about the Titanic that I found. There is a book that was out a few years ago who was written by the granddaughter of someone who was on the Titanic.
Yeah.
And he claimed...
Cashing in on that money!
He claimed that the... where does it say? The steersman, Robert Hitchens, was actually used to sailing a different type of boat where different language was used. So they told him, they said, oh, look at this iceberg there. Make sure you turn left. But the word that they used actually meant right in the type of sailing that he did. So
and he just thought, I'll go straight into the iceberg anyway.
Steered into the iceberg.
Right. Yeah. The guy that found...
I mean, why use your own eyes when you've got someone telling you the wrong direction?
I enjoyed that, I know.
I would question that.
There is actually a theory. There is conspiracies online that the Titanic that crashed was not the actual Titanic. Anyway,
the guy that...
In fairness, it might have been my girlfriend that was giving directions. She'll do that. She'll point right and go left.
No. What girl, and you know, I don't want this to become that kind of podcast, but it's afterwards, isn't it? It's, oh, you should have turned left there. Thank you. Cheers for that.
The guy that found it, did he know the minute that he went down there that it was the Titanic, or did he have to get something to...
Big neon sign on it.
You know, like, would you just
Titanic
look and go...
Here.
That's what I'm saying. How would he know? Would
it, like... Well, I don't know. I think he had, from where it crashed, he had a good idea of where it would have sunk.
Not many boats around there sunk, yeah.
Right, and then when you go down there and find... You know, a massive ship that's broken to things on the seabed. You're putting two and two together.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that. So the Titanic was found as part of a secret mission that was just pretending to find the Titanic.
I like that.
Final question on that, actually. Yeah. Is it all still down there? Because I don't know. Have they resurrected any of it? Or
no, they keep trying to figure out ways to bring it back to the surface, don't they?
I guess the problem
they're
is...
yet to figure it out.
It's just eroded, right? So if you start moving it, it might just all...
I think it's probably fairly well preserved. James Cameron went down there, didn't he, in making the Titanic?
He went down there, spent a lot of time down there. We've discussed that on the pod before.
Wow.
Yeah, he also...
But it's very hard to bring up because it's, you know, very heavy and sunk.
Yeah. And also, where would you put it?
My favourite idea was that someone was like, why don't we put it in a massive ice cube?
That's a good idea.
Was that an artifact on the show?
I think, yeah. And then it would just float to the top.
Or like a dome, and you can go underwater to a dome museum.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's what he said. On the idea that you could use an ice cube to raise the Titanic. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mark, give us your first fact of the show.
Ants will help care for other injured ants after a battle, but mortally wounded ants will refuse to be treated.
Right, hold on. Battle and ants is the bit that's got me here. So ants have battles? Is
ants
that's
have
the
battles,
first question.
Yep.
What's so just like ants, sort of team and team?
Ants will have wars. What? Normally between them and termites.
Right. I didn't know if it was like one team of ants against the other team of ants. And
no. So we're talking specifically here about African matter belly ants.
Of course.
And they will go and launch raids on termites because that is where they want to get all their food from, and will basically risk their life in the process of doing that. They'll send out scouts and all that. It's very thought through. It's incredible. But when ants get injured, they will then release this chemical substance, which basically says, oh, I'm injured, and other ants will come and take care for them. But if the ant's like, I'm not going to survive, it's essentially the ant version of, go on without me! It's that, basically.
So if I stamp on an ant, the scent's out.
I mean, if you stamp on an ant, probably kill it. So,
it releases scents.
It will release a chemical substance, yeah.
That says, don't bother.
No, that says, I'm injured, come and help me. But, so that's the ant's natural body function that does that. But if the ant is then like, I'm not going to make it, it will say to the other ants, go on without me, leave me.
It might not.
Just through communication.
It might be.
You know, in the same way that ants will talk to each other normally.
But maybe what's going on is, when an ant wants to be saved, it's sending out this scent, but maybe it's so injured that it can't send out the scent, so it can't tell people it wants to be saved, but it does want to be saved.
No, the ants will get there, and then the ant will just send it away.
If anyone else is sitting there listening, and they've got a picture in their head of ants wearing balaclavas and sort of planning a raid, you're not alone.
What, a group of ants are called an army?
Because I agree, I'm interested to know more about the chemical, but I'm literally picturing these tiny little ants in an ant world wearing balaclavas with gold teeth. Strapping up and going
right into termites. When an ant is injured and it needs carrying back, it will deliberately tuck its legs in and make it as small as possible so it's easier to be carried. Oh. They're very clever creatures, ants.
They are.
It's interesting. It always amazes me, doing like this podcast, the roadblocks that your mind creates.
No, it's just I always go to that
so the
world.
First interesting thing, you kind of stop and go, well, this is good enough for me.
No, this is a really interesting fact, but it's where my mind ends up. I'm picturing a bunch of ants. Yeah. Balaclavaed up and raiding termites.
Why have they got gold teeth?
I don't know. It's just, you know, a bit like sort of, you know, rough.
It's not a posh ant that's doing this raid, is it?
No.
Give us your first fact of the show.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was paid approximately $21,429 for every single individual word that he said in Terminator 2 Judgment Day. There were 700 words approximately overall throughout the whole film.
As in, he went to them and said, hey, I want to get paid per word, or this is just what it happened to break down to.
Well, this is the best bit about it as well. I tried to find out, was this how the contract was written, or is it just the fact that he earned a certain amount of money?
Well, yeah,
and then what? Exactly that. Well, he's never admitted it, though.
It's a lot less exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like if you're going to be on a per word basis, you'd do it on a film where you had a few more than 700 words.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like you would be, you know,
like Leonardo DiCaprio in a Scorsese film.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to go on for 8 hours.
Yeah.
But it's a hell of a lot of money for not a lot of words, really, isn't it?
I think the fact is interesting if that was the contract. Otherwise, you could just break down anything and be like, oh, you know, Lionel Messi gets paid £1 for every half second he is on the pitch.
Well, you're not too... I mean, 700 words and he's getting paid 15.4 million. Ain't bad.
Right. Not bad at all.
That's off to that. And
how much Dad made doing the... Oh, no, wait, you didn't get the Cadbury's advert, did you?
No.
No, and I didn't have any lines in Rosemary in Time either.
You had no lines?
Well, I gave myself lines.
So you still needed a break after it, but you had no lines.
Yeah, the industry gets to you.
Hmm.
I mean, acting without words is almost harder, right? Because you have to convey things that you can't do.
Yeah, I can't say orally. I'm scared. You have to...
You have to really give that impression when you're pushing a wheelbarrow in the background.
Do it with eyebrows and mouth opening.
I think he's a good actor, this guy.
There's a part of me, though, that believes that Arnold Schwarzenegger probably did ask for this. In his contract. I feel like he's that kind of guy.
I feel like it was more likely that he got paid a certain amount and went, I'm not saying over 700 words.
Well,
700 is the max.
Yeah, I think it was probably more he's playing a robot that doesn't speak a lot. And also, you know, we love Arnie, but he's not the best like actor like that. Like you book Arnold Schwarzenegger, especially in The Terminator, because he looks badass.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
You don't want him to give his best Hamlet, do you?
No,
I'm not booking him to do an audiobook.
No, exactly.
Yeah, no, absolutely don't do that.
Put the cookie down.
Almost that time of year to watch Jingle All the Way. There you go.
Almost.
Less than 3 months till Christmas. Right, my second fact is something that I don't really, you know, I don't want to condone this, but it's interesting. A man called Robert Graham was a multi-millionaire, and he believed the human race was getting progressively dumber. The only way to stop it was by filling the world with Nobel Prize winners, especially genetic descendants of the Nobel Prize winners. So guess what he did?
What?
He made a Nobel Prize sperm bank where he would get Nobel Prize winners and did their thing. I don't know what, you know, they ain't taking any naughty mags, are they?
in a cup, just in case you're wondering.
You know,
probably reading the latest scientific report and going, oh, yes.
Yeah.
So he made this sperm bank and tried to get loads of Nobel Prizes good stuff. In the end, he only got three because the
it's
public,
weird.
The public didn't really go crazy for it. You know, it's kind of, it verges on eugenics. It's population control. You think everyone's being an idiot.
How many Nobel Prize winners are there?
Like, quite a lot. Quite a few people win it.
Right.
And he did this over 20 years from 1970 to 1999.
Do you get to choose which Nobel Prize they won?
I don't think so. Normally,
I would like a peace winner or an economics winner.
So all in all, not a single baby ended up inheriting Nobel DNA. Yet 217 kids were born from the sperm bank.
I think to make it more fun, they should put like someone like Connor's sperm in there. Mm. And then it's a real lottery. You could have a genius on your hand. Or
Connor. What? I'm curious as to how many people that had a Nobel Prize actually decided to go ahead with this.
Well, as I was saying, I think it was only three.
Three.
One donor produced as many as 30 kids, which is mental if it's only three.
Wow.
That's one man.
He went for it.
Giving 30 kids. Mm. That's terrible for the population.
Do you reckon he upgraded to premium for that?
He also found that one man had falsely gotten into the bank by claiming to have an IQ of 160.
Of course he did.
So they didn't even, you know.
Didn't even check.
Didn't even do the check.
And oh, you've heard of IQ before? Sure, come on in, sir.
Yeah. I'd be in there like, yeah,
In fairness, they'd have been overrun with the three other people they had in there.
I'd cock it all up. I'd be like, I've got a QI, like 170. They'd be like, get out. See ya.
He also planned to recruit only married women of a certain IQ to carry these special offspring.
So this is just a normal sperm bank, and then you might get somebody with the Nobel Prize?
No, I think it was only.
So Nobel you, so Prize it's just got above it, like Nobel Prize sperm bank. You go in there.
I don't think it was a shop.
And no.
I think it's like a catalogue.
Okay.
He's recruited, like, he's trying to recruit these very intelligent women, and he's saying, do you want a baby? I can get you the good stuff, the hot stuff. It's like, you know, the stud on the farm.
Sheldon Cooper.
The horse farm.
Sheldon Cooper.
Big Bang Theory, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's trying to get him pregnant with that to make, like, an Uber race.
Right. So look.
I'm glad it failed.
Yeah, it's a fairly understandable idea from his point. I kind of understand why it's ridiculously weird. Right? I can get what he's trying to achieve, but it's completely mental in the same breath.
Yes, it's also, you know, I feel like a lot of leaders have had very similar ideas about controlling things like that. And they haven't gone down well in history.
The biggest concern for me is the fact that he actually got three people. That's enough for me on this.
Yeah, but
it would have been no for me. Straight away. If I was a Nobel Prize, no.
But, you know, there's quite a lot of people in the world. And
you get paid enough.
And they might have got paid and
they want Guinness World Record holders.
They're on, you know, they're at the edge anyway. You know, they're at the edge of normal thought anyway.
Yeah.
So they will think normal things.
Well, there we go. Interesting.
The Nobel Prize has been awarded to 962 people.
And three of them gave their sperm.
At the time.
Doesn't that just make the Nobel Prize less noble?
Well, I mean, no, there's a lot of people in the world.
Mm. There is, yeah.
And I think you get
there's a lot of Nobel Prizes every year.
And you get about £1 million for it. Is it £1 million? Something like that. Good value. Good value. Good sperm. Mark, give us your second fact of the show.
If provided with a mirror, dolphins will admire their own genitals.
How do they know this?
So, they know this.
Here we go. Hold on a minute. Let me just guess. Some geezer in Cambridge University called Darwin in 2008 decided to figure it out. Is that it?
No, they kind of found this out by accident more than anything. So there is a thing
accident?
Called...
What are they looking at?
So there is a thing called the mirror test. So the mirror test is a self-recognition test that they run on animals. Basically, it says whether or not animals possess the ability of self-recognition. So how do they react when they look in a mirror? So monkeys, for example, will recognize themselves in the mirror and then they'll use that for self-grooming, for example. You get other animals who get absolutely scared at seeing themselves in a mirror, right? You've probably seen, you know, like dogs or cats or whatever do that, for example. Dolphins, however, will use it to look at their own genitals. So they're very aware it's them. They're intelligent enough to recognize themselves and they spend most of their time looking at their own bits.
How does a dolphin do that?
Well, I mean, it's probably quite bendy. It's in the sea.
Trying to figure out how they get in a position where
they're
able... They're
arching backwards, are they? They're arching forwards.
But the where's the mirror then?
Well, in front of them, and they're kind of bending their... Yeah. They're looking...
It's like you walking towards a mirror, except they're swimming towards a mirror.
But the Yeah, you have to leave this with me, I reckon.
This has really confused you,
isn't it? How they're looking at the genitals in the mirror.
Yeah.
Right, how would you look at your own genitals?
Yeah, but I'm not positioned like a dolphin.
But you pretty much are, because they can be quite straight.
Yeah.
Right, so they're going to go like swim, 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 like that. And then
yeah, dolphins quite often be at that sort of an angle, at an upright angle, as if they're standing. Yeah.
Can they bend their neck?
Yeah.
Wow. Never knew that.
That's the fact you've taken away from this.
A dolphin can bend their neck.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Like that.
Well, it'll be kind of from the middle of their stomach, I would imagine.
Wow. It's interesting.
Sometimes it's interesting, like what you take away, isn't it?
I was interested by that. I was more curious as to how they look at their genitals in the mirror than the actual fact.
Are they admiring or in disgust?
More admiring. So they'll kind of do a combination of things. Looking at their genitals is what they do most often. They will also open and hold their mouth wide open so they can look inside their mouth, so they can check their teeth. And they will also closely look at their own eyes as well. So they kind of use it as a bit of a case of, what's going on there? What's going on there? And then, still got those.
Yeah. I wonder what they think about their genitals. You know what I mean? I do wonder sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I wonder what they think, eh? It's big, isn't it?
Connor, give us your second fact of the show.
Lionel Messi could be the world's best footballer. He's not, but anyway. His first contract with Barcelona, he's not. His first contract, he's definitely not. His first contract with Barcelona.
You think it's Declan Rice, don't you?
He thinks it's Ronaldo because he's on the online hype.
No, Jared Bowen. Right, so Messi's first contract with Barcelona was actually detailed out on a paper napkin. His first ever contract. FC Barcelona sporting director Carles Rakesh was so impressed with Messi's skills that he wanted to make a contract immediately. There was no paper available at the time, so he'd done it on a contract to seal the deal and then had the actual thing made up.
I think this is probably done loads.
I imagine so too. That is exactly the bit that I was going to go to next. I wonder how many times this has happened in the world of contracts needing to be done. It happened with me with Baffled, you know. But
wait, you've got a contract?
Yeah, but they worried me. I was in demand. Napkin and that.
Well, he was brought over to La Masia, which was their like academy, their big place. And that he was tiny, so I think they had to feed him growth hormones or growth nutrients. I think that might not be true, but it's something like that.
Is he still taking them?
And it's like Iniesta. I think they had to do something very similar with Andreas Iniesta.
Well, when this actually happened for Messi in his life, he was only 12 years old, and he was obviously way too good to let go, showing the signs of being maybe the best footballer in the world. But yeah, it was actually down to his father. So Messi's father, they were really, really close to signing for Real Madrid at the time. But the actual sporting director of Barcelona was like, you know, we can't let this happen. 12 years old. I don't know if you get pro contracts at 12. I don't know how that works. So they got it on a paper napkin. It's currently in a museum for you to go and see. And that was the first ever contract that Lionel Messi signed away.
Must be nice to be a footballer's dad, I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
They're just always...
cash in.
They're always agents.
You just cash in, don't you? I mean, look, have you seen the new documentary on Netflix of Neymar?
No.
Yeah, ridiculously interesting. Like, you watch it and Neymar's there doing it all, and then his dad's there with like a 500 grand watch on his wrist. Like, yeah, I'll just run it all for him.
Yeah, easy.
Agent fees, that's how you get it.
Like Hamilton's dad, you just kind of sit in the background, just absolutely raking in the cash. Yeah.
To be fair, though, out of all of the famous sporting dads, Messi's dad getting a paper napkin contract down at Barcelona is probably the best decision that he could have done for him.
It's worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
I wonder if, much like the Nobel Prize sperm bank, you could have like a sperm bank where you know they're going to grow up to be footballers and you could be a rich agent dad. Do you reckon they have to do anything either? They just have a chat every few years, kick off in the press in the meantime, say, oh, we want to move, then re-sign a contract to get yourself even more money.
Yeah, it's true.
Not too shabby.
I was a good footballer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know how I talk about Rosemary and Thyme? You do that with, you know...
Close to a paper napkin contract.
What, that you once wiped your mouth with a napkin? Is that how close you got?
Brentwood A team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the B team for a while, but I got a call up one day.
How did that go?
It was all right, yeah. Bit more physical, didn't really like that.
We should clarify, for those who do follow Premier League, Brentwood, not Brentford.
Yeah, Brentwood, yeah. Anyway.
Hello.
Hello, sorry to interrupt your podcast. We didn't do that. It's just been magically done for us. We do a podcast, which I think you might like if you like this podcast. Our podcast is called The A to Z of Men with me, Chris Brooks.
And me, Scott Robinson.
And what's the podcast about, Scott?
I mean, what we're doing really is giving you an insight, a delve into the male mind. We're going through the alphabet letter by letter. I submit a word, Chris submits a word, and we battle it out to see what word goes into the A to Z of Men.
And you can get us wherever you get your podcast from. Just search for The A to Z of Men.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You can get in contact with the show, by the way. If you head to baffledpod.com, everything that you need is there. Who's said hello?
We got an email in from Emily, info@baffledpod.com. She says, hello, I absolutely love the podcast and have binged all episodes. It's been great to listen to you three bicker and laugh. Sometimes I think Connor gets a hard time, but his innocence is hilarious.
You don't have to sit in a room with him, Emma.
A fact many people may not know about paintball is that it
I stay up at night, Em. I wish I knew more about paintball.
Wait for this, it's actually quite interesting. A fact many people may not know about paintball is that it originated in the 1960s when Charles Nelson of the Nelson Paint Company invented a paintball marker. It was then used by cattlemen and loggers who would use a paintball marker to mark cattle and logs more accurately from longer distances. The first official game of paintball wasn't until 1981. Look forward to many more episodes. Many thanks, Emily.
Interesting fact there, Emily. You see as well, you've entered my world. You instantly opened your fact up. Dan started laughing. It turned out to be pretty good.
What I enjoy is that for 21 years, they were using it for like an actual practical thing and someone went, bet we could have a war with this.
I wasn't laughing.
Probably
at
some ants.
I knew that the fact would be good. I was laughing at the you know, the premise of.
Did you just hear that?
No, you do learn.
Please just cut that out.
you.
So bad. So bad.
You're too much of a joke judge here.
No,
really.
No,
someone who brings hilarity other than just their general being.
I laugh
to the
at jokes. You make funny jokes. Mark makes some funny jokes, but that is all. Did you just hear that? Paintball was brought into the world by ants because he referred back to ants battling.
It's a good callback.
Yeah, it's a good callback. It's called a comedic technique, Connor. You should learn some.
Listen, Emily, I was laughing at the idea that I wanted to have a fact about paintball. It's quite a funny introductory line. Thank you very much for getting in touch. info@baffledpod.com for the email, or you could just go to baffledpod.com online and figure that all out. Last fact of the show, let me tell you about Norio Olga. I will mispronounce this name.
Norio Olga.
Norio Olga. Anyway, the founder of Sony hired an outspoken critic of their products so they could make better stuff, and he became the president 20 years later. So someone, Norio, kept writing letters to Sony, to the president, slagging them off, having a go, and you know what happened? They hired him. They said, well, if you think you can do better, you can do better. And they hired him, and he was instrumental in making CDs. And then 20 years later, he became the president of Sony.
Wow. Hey,
you need someone who's going to be blunt and honest about the
state
of the company.
I don't need that in my life. No, I like sugarcoat.
Okay, I'll make sure that I don't give you honest appraisals about the podcast.
I can't take it.
So he must have... Yeah, so he's obviously a bit of a nerd as well, that he's slagging off Sony. He's not like me, just going, oh, it don't work. He's, yeah, going for it.
Well, I think if anyone sends a letter of complaint, you're a bit of a nerd.
Yeah.
2, 3, 4, 5, multiple letters, like nerdy or...
I mean, if you send a letter, you're a nerd.
No, I think you can be... You're in touch with it, aren't you?
Do you write letters and send them?
It depends who to.
You've never...
Thank you letters.
Really?
Yeah, send a thank you letter.
His mum still makes them.
Pop them on WhatsApp.
Because you're very ungrateful. I've always had that. You're an ungrateful person, Connor.
No, I always send him a lovely WhatsApp message.
Cheers. Come on.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Good to see you.
With the...
Just has to remember to replace the name in the copy and paste.
Thanks very much for the lovely gift. Beer's on me next time. See you soon. All my love. Con.
Two clinking glass emojis.
There you go.
Con.
Yeah, con.
Copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste.
I'm saying, if you were a bit more, thoughtful, you could be hired by Sony.
Pretty cool. I mean, but you've got to have the talent to back it up, in you, really.
Yeah, that's where you'd fall down.
I can complain all I want, but I would be finished if they went, we'll come do it better. Well, sorry about that.
Yeah, Mark, give us your last fact of the show.
The singer of the Gummy Bears theme tune is the same guy who sang Adult Simba in The Lion King, and it's the same guy who is the lead singer of Toto who sing the song Africa.
So, I don't know the Gummy Bears theme tune, so you lost me immediately.
I'm so lost there. What? So we've got
Gummy Bears theme tune. Gummy Bears was an old cartoon.
I thought it was something you eat.
I mean, it was also that, but it was an old cartoon.
So, hang on. The lead singer from Africa.
Yes.
It's gonna take a lot to drag me away. He was the guy who
sings all the Adult Simba bits in The Lion King.
I'm a gummy bear.
No, that's a different song.
Oh.
Well, I don't know the Gummy Bear theme tune.
Let me see if I can find it for you. I've got it here somewhere.
Patty Silvershire.
This one. The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. It was like a cartoon when we were younger.
I never saw that.
I quite like this. Let me get to the big bing. Oh, I like this. This is a bit of me, this is. See, they don't make him as good as that anymore.
So yeah, so he is the lead singer of T.O.T.O. Toto.
It doesn't
who
sound
also
like
sang
it.
Africa, who also was the singer for Simba when he was an adult in the Lion King.
Previous to this podcast recording, you was telling me that Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles is all right, but that for you is a bit of you.
I mean, if Harry Styles had put that on his new album, it would be the biggest hit. Well,
no, isn't you have to think about the purpose they're serving. If I'm 9 years old or whatever it is and I hear that, bam, I'm in the 90s.
Yeah.
Is it as good as SpongeBob though?
Yes, better.
It's very good. Incomparable.
Incomparable.
I would say of a level. Thing is, here's, my hot take. Don't like the song Toto by Africa. I don't like the song Africa by Toto.
Michael Silvershare, yeah?
Of course you're that person. Also, he's the son of John Williams, so helped write some of Star Wars music with him.
Helped write it?
Yeah, he did some of the, the Ewok celebration. Helped write some of the lyrics.
I've said his name 4 times. It is Michael Silvershare, right?
No, Joseph Williams.
Brilliant.
It's interesting that he's quite a presence. Yeah, I don't really know who he is.
Yeah, I didn't know his name until then, but turns out he's been across a load of stuff. So yeah, he's the son of John Williams off of Star Wars and Jaws and Jurassic Park.
I think
you
could be annoyed if you're him doing the voice of the singing voice of Adult Simba.
Yeah,
and you don't get any credit, and everyone thinks it's Matthew Broderick or whoever it was.
Yeah, because he obviously did the speaking voice, and then they just kind of assume that. But no, different.
Connor, give us your last fact of the show.
Should we wrap this one up then, lads? Yeah. In 100 years, Facebook is going to be full of dead people.
What?
But yeah, of course it is.
There we go then.
But it'll be
fact or not? Is it real news or not?
But
yeah. Is it a fact or not, Dan Simpson? Tell me.
If it's still around, it'll still have a life. So it's not a fact, no, because it won't be full of them.
Of course it will.
No, it won't
no,
be
it won't,
full
because
of
there'll
them.
Still be people. As Dan says, if it's still a thing. Then it means that other people are using it, therefore other people will be using it who are alive, therefore it won't be full of dead people.
In 100 years...
There will be people who used it who are now dead, therefore their accounts may still be on Facebook. However, it will not be fully.
And he sometimes makes me want to just disappear.
And they might remove them in the next 100 years. They might figure that away. So it's true.
Yeah. In 100 years,
if your account isn't active for enough time, then maybe they just disable it and archive you. You know,
in 100 years, your dead nan may still be on Facebook.
Yeah,
great.
Good way to close the show.
Yeah, welcome. There you go.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. What have we learned? Well, your dead nan's on Facebook, ants battled termites, and the Titanic was found as part of a secret mission that was only pretending to find the Titanic. What a lucky break. It's baffledpod.com if you want to get in touch, and we'll see you next week. Say goodbye, Mark.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Connor.
Thanks for being there.
Yes. Don't take your young children to the theatre and then talk all the way through. If you're going to take them, just let them live. Let them be free. See you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.